house I live in, a plot of earth, a street. The grocer and the butcher and the people that I meet. The children in the playground, the faces that I see. All races, all religions, that's America to me.
Welcome to The Refuge for the Politically Homeless. From Boise, Idaho, this is Adam Graham. As part of this podcast, I want to talk about issues where there is a lot more heat than light in the public discourse. And one of those is the reopening of churches during the COVID-19 pandemic. On May 22nd, President Trump declared churches nationwide to be essential services and said that if governors did not reopen the country's churches, he would override them. In doing this, the president stepped into what has already been a very heated discussion in and outside of the American church. There have been a lot of people saying that the idea of having the government order churches to close is itself unconstitutional, a violation of the First Amendment. Now, in discussing this, it's important to remember that these orders originate at the state level, not at the federal level. And states are given a great deal of latitude with the actions that they take in response to an emergency. I will be honest that I am not a lawyer, but from my reading of the Constitution and the relevant law, and listening to nearly every legal expert, it doesn't appear that this is necessarily a violation of the First Amendment. It is a health and safety issue, and churches have been subject to a lot of health and safety regulations. If a church building is condemned and the government says you can't meet there, you can't, go into the building and meet there regardless. There are fire codes that will limit the number of occupancies that churches are able to have. So just kind of on a common sense basis, it would seem that this wouldn't necessarily be unconstitutional. Probably the most important law on this is the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which states that the government shall not substantially burden a person's exercise of religion, even if the burden results from a rule of general applicability. Now, there are exceptions, and the first these two conditions have to be met. First, it has to be in the furtherance of a compelling government interest, and then the second is that it must be the least restrictive way to further the government's interest. And this, I think, is where you can get into an argument about some of the measures that states have taken. And I think states, in some cases, have definitely overstepped their bounds. There was the case of the local government trying to shut down a drive-in church service in Louisville, Kentucky, while allowing other drive-in businesses to continue to operate. There can also be some issues when it comes to reopening. When a state takes a more restrictive stance towards churches than they do for secular businesses. An example of this can be found in Minnesota, where Governor Walz is allowing restaurants to have up to 50 customers in dining rooms, but churches allowed only to have 10 worshipers. Now, I should be clear that you can make some comparisons which are not quite apt. Like, I see a lot of people online talking about the fact that you can have, hundreds of people in a Walmart. So why can't you have hundreds of people smashed together in church? And that's just really not an apt comparison. Because even though you can have, you know, a lot more people in Walmart, there is less risk than you might think, as Aaron Bromage, an assistant professor of biology at the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth, wrote. And she says what you need to consider there is for that infection via respiration is the volume of the airspace, the number of people, and how long people are spending in the store. So Walmart is not really an apt comparison, say, to a large church. But the restaurant is comparable to a small church, and the sort of rules that would be put in place for movie theaters when they reopen would maybe be a bit more applicable to the requirements that a medium-sized church would need to meet. So I do think there are problems with some of the orders and some of the government actions. And certainly all of these actions are going to be subject to state and local laws, which I won't even claim to have any knowledge of. But others are done in ways that are more respectful and I think show appropriate common sense and deference to freedom of religion while also taking public health and safety seriously. I do feel that kind of the church's overall response to COVID-19 has been distorted a bit by politicians and also by the media in giving coverage to, you know, those pastors who will, you know, do things like hold gigantic services like a pastor in Louisiana did, even while the pandemic was breaking forth in his state, and just a total lack of concern or regard for public health or safety. The reality is that 99% of churches in America did cease meeting during the pandemic. Some have resumed opening as their states have opened up, but many are still continuing to meet online. Most pastors have taken to heart the real risk that could be posed by in-person meetings. And it's been a deliberative process to figure out how to go forward. I also think that with a society that's less religious, certainly into what's known as organized religion, there can be a little bit of a lack of understanding of the importance of attending church in the life of a believer. Church isn't just the center of community life, though it is that. It's something that, in particular, Christians are commanded to come together in the New Testament. The book of Hebrews says that they shouldn't forsake the assembling of themselves together. Now, of course, during this COVID-19 situation, that's had to be balanced against the clear biblical commands to love your neighbor and to show appropriate concerns for other members of the congregation. So Christians across the country have sacrificed months of being able to attend church in order to help combat this pandemic. However, as the country begins to reopen, it's appropriate for churches to implement the best public health advice and practices depending on where their locality is at in the process of fighting the pandemic. I attend a small church, and we're hoping to resume meeting on May the 31st. Other churches may have opened sooner, and still many more may be closed much longer. I think this will definitely present a challenge to a lot of the very large churches and the mega churches out there. I'm not certain how you do a safe in-person reopening if you're a Saddleback Community Church where Rick Warren pastors, or your Lakewood Church where Joel Osteen is at. You're dealing with thousands upon thousands of people. And so even after a governor has cleared churches to reopen, that doesn't necessarily mean that they will do so. Ultimately, then, I think the president's statement has to be understood for three things. First of all, it doesn't really change anything. He may threaten to override state governors, but he does not actually have that authority under the Constitution. The orders, stay at home or other public safety orders, were put in place by governors and mayors, and they would be the ones to amend it. The president doesn't have any authority to go into stepping on that part of state action. The second thing is it's just not particularly helpful. I saw a letter online from a pastor of a former church that had to clarify for his congregation that even though President Trump had ordered churches open, that the church was going to remain closed for now because there were things that the church itself needed to work out. And I think a great danger of what the president did in making this statement is that he's going to have parishioners putting pressure on already stressed out, challenged pastors who are dealing with people suddenly demanding to know why church isn't being opened because the president has told them that it's going to be opened. On the issue of stay-at-home orders and whether the president can override them, this is something the president doesn't have any control over, and it just throws an unhelpful monkey wrench into the process for pastors who are trying to work through this in a serious way. And I think ultimately it does come across as very politically motivated. Politico ran a story making the point that the president's statement came as a poll had shown him losing approval from double digits, more than 10% of both evangelicals, mainline Protestants, and Roman Catholics. And I think this is an example of a sort of leadership we really don't need right now. We don't need leaders trying to make political hay out of this. The government has issued guidelines through the CDC. And what pastors need to do, regardless of where their state is in regards to its stay-at-home order, is figure out how are they going to be able to resume church in-person services in accordance with those guidelines. And for many churches, it's going to take far longer than the expiration of the stay-at-home order to figure out when they can meet safely. And believe me, pastors and church boards across this country are working hard to figure out exactly how to do that. And it would be best for everyone if government leaders do their job for public health and safety and not add unnecessary complications. All right, well, that's all for now. I'd love to hear your comments. You can email me at adam@politicalrefuge.info. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.
The house I live in, my neighbors white and black. The people who just came here are from generations back.
The town hall and the soapbox, the torch of liberty, a home for all God's children, that's America to